With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And now,
you gotta be careful when you're doing wordplay like Chopper and all that. It's like wordplay in a song, but you gotta be.
Like if you're saying your chopper's gonna crash, don't compare it to Kobe's.
Right.
Be curious, not judgmental.
This is Ray. Hello, Ray.
When I'm in my Explorer, I feel like Rambo. There ain't a neighborhood in Quincy that I can't go.
Okay, he's got the wordplay. That's the wordplay.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Everybody be safe tonight
and tomorrow. Safe, guys.
All across the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Or streaming at WEEI.com.
And the radio.com app.
Intercom.
This is
The Greg Hill Show.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Martin.
Hey, good morning.
With your host,
Greg, the host.
The athletically gifted Greg Hill.
Hey, have you ever been in an offense?
No,
like,
I haven't. So, never been in an offense. Even when I was playing hoops for Neshoba Regional, I wasn't allowed to do anything offensively. They just told me to stand in the lane and clog it up a little bit.
So occasionally he goes on the defense on Twitter late at night.
Featuring resident know-it-all Danielle Murr.
Was Meek Mill played at a lot of St. Patrick's Day parties?
I think he's had some songs that might have got some a little airplay at some St. Patty's Day parties.
He has a traditional Irish ballad or something?
Call that.
All right.
Okay. He's like doing a jig to Meek Mill.
I think he's 127th Irish.
Shipping it up to Manhattan.
Right. But he...
Mudhead whiskey in the car,
Oh.
Joined by...
They jello for sauce.
Wiggy.
Any information that was put out there by Johnny Hopkins, he was like, this is gospel. They're not gonna... You know, they go to Johnny Hopkins and they're not coming with real stuff. So.
Do they still have the people on roller skates? That was Rockets.
I love their fries.
And behind the glass, the two most annoying people in New England, Ken and Curtis.
You know, I control the faders, so I can censor Derek right now.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Hey, Derek.
Too late. You've been doing that for...
Oh, we lost Derek. Sorry about that.
Now.
But we've got to be role models.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
You massholes!
Gave them a lot of what for.
You just have no idea what you're talking about.
Let's cover it.
How do you say anything? Cucumber?
Cucumbers.
On sports radio.
Cheers. I'm crushing the Bears. I'm watching the Pats.
From your lips to God's ears.
WEEI.
I got some new information.
All right. $35.
Then I will call you later.
I don't want your life.
What's going on, everybody?
Hello.
Gregory, what's good, man?
How are we today?
What day is it?
Today is hump day, hump day.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Thanks, Mike.
Why is it not? Well, you're working from home, so it probably seems like every day is a Friday.
I'm just not paying attention. I've given up.
I mean, why would you? It's been 10 months of the same exact thing.
I thrive on that, though.
I guess almost a year. We're coming up. Are we doing anything to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the lockdown on March 18th or whenever that was?
Yeah, we're going to gather in the empty Faneuil Hall Marketplace to eat our own food.
And wave at Marty or Marty's office.
Hey, let me be the first to wish you all a happy National Tortilla Chip Day, which it is today. So... I hope you'll find a way. Can you? Are places still allowed to give out the free chips and salsa, or is that a COVID no-no?
No,
for your table, yes.
In New Hampshire, you can get whatever you want.
Oh, you can do it in
New
Hampshire. Greg, do you celebrate in private?
Yeah, I probably will. Yes.
Since it's National Tortilla Day, and you know I love analytics, do you want to take a guess at what the favorite dip of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is when it comes to all things tortilla?
Sure. So this would be This is some kind of a information from science, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
That's correct. They look at, when they come up with these maps of who loves what, they look at Google Trends about searches for things in relation to each other.
From Johnny Hopkins.
Yes, correct.
I would guess it's salsa.
Queso.
I
mean,
you would say queso?
Love queso.
What about the French onion dip in the can? Some people like that.
Danielle sounds dirty. Danielle, you said.
No, they did expand it. It's, I'd say 95% of the map is like a Mexican dip themed.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of outliers.
Okay. Is it salsa?
It's not salsa.
Oh, it's not?
No. It's queso? Something you like having made tableside.
It's guac.
Really? My least favorite thing on the planet.
Yeah, I don't mess with guacamole either.
Okay.
Now, salsa, Greg, is the favorite dip of your adopted home state of Maine.
Of course. They're simple people up there. That's why I love them.
As far as the other New England states go, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and the half of Connecticut that belongs to us and not the tri-state area also said guacamole. And Vermont was artichoke dip.
Really?
Yeah, which you need to get in a bread bowl.
100%, Danielle. I'm a fan of artichokes.
I am too.
Not a big vegetable guy, as you might imagine. A big vegetable
guy.
You
don't look it.
My favorite Greg is exasperated Greg when he gets a food question wrong.
You're right about that, Curtis.
Spinach dip on the list, because I do like that creamy spinach dip.
It is good. I think people kind of looked at artichoke dip and spinach dip in the same vein.
Get me that damn creamy spinach dip.
I'll rock with you on that one.
And make it quick.
I do like the creamy spinach
dip. I like dairy in my dip, damn it.
All right.
French onion dip, by the way, was the favorite of Kentucky Whigs.
Oh, really? Okay. I buy that.
French onion with the Pringles.
Not chips. The Pringles really can't stand up to a dip unless you have like five chips stacked together.
Yeah. Coming up on the show
this
morning.
I feel like I showed up at the wrong place.
No, you're fine.
We're talking
about dip. We're talking about chips.
Okay.
It's National Tortilla Chip Day, Ken.
Okay.
Celebrate a little bit. Right. Live life
a little. Celebrate good times. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Why are you allowed to have flavored dip with tortillas but not flavored dip on its own?
Oh, Curtis.
All right. Coming up, the Leeds at their controversial new time slot. That's in 15 minutes. And then we will get to the dumbest of the day at 7. And at the end of this morning's show, we will play Where Are You Paying Attention? So make sure you pay attention to everything that happens over the next 4 hours so you can win yourself a logoed, ink-filled, properly sanitized WEEI pen. Or even two if you disguise your voice and call back like Scott from Weymouth. There was something else I wanted to mention here at the start of the show. We'll get, obviously during the Leeds, I'm sure at some point we'll discuss Tiger Woods, but Tiger Woods is out of surgery, correct? And there's good news when it comes to his condition, because he is talking and all of those good things. So more on that, I'm sure, during Ken's lead, but or whoever's lead at some point, and during trending. And I believe there is a 0% chance of rain today. And I don't know if anybody else's mind was blown yesterday or not. But did you see the TikTok video by chance explaining what the chance of rain actually means?
No. Oh, we're learning so much with TikTok.
We're learning that you can't glue a red Solo cup to your face with Gorilla Glue.
I still want Wiggy to try that, though.
Hell no.
When you hear a weather forecast that says 30% chance of rain, Wiggy, what do you think that means?
It's probably not going to rain.
Okay. That's the exact opposite of what it means.
What?
What it means is that there is a 100% chance of rain, but that rain will only occur in 30% of your area.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Really?
How have meteorologists not defended themselves by explaining this before?
I don't know. It's honestly,
seriously.
If they had, I think a lot of the criticism and shaming of them would have ended if they just explained that to everybody.
That is mind-blowing.
Here's this TikTok video.
I thought 100% that when they said that there's a 30% chance of rain, that it meant that there was a 30% chance that it was going to rain. I never, ever, ever knew that it meant that there's 100% it's going to rain, and it's going to be in 30% of your area.
Mind blown. Mind blown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here I was pushing off my lengthy exercise routine to a day when there was a 0% chance of rain, and I could have been out there running.
I think that's wrong, though.
No, Wiggy, it's not.
Meteorologists have backed it up.
Have they?
Not. Yeah, it didn't just go viral, and no one corrected it.
I want to hear why Wiggy.
Well, because there's been plenty of times that it said there's a 15% chance or a 20% chance of rain. And it does not rain.
No, in your area. Where you're, it rains in 15.
You're in the 85%.
Yeah, it rains in 15 to 20% of the area. You just don't know it.
I think Wiggy needs a visual on this.
It's not raining over here. Yeah, bring out the weather map, Danielle. Do you have a weather map behind you?
Yes, hold on. I'll put one behind me for the next break.
A little precipitation.
I'm telling you,
Talk about low pressure.
If I had known this at some point over the last 30 years, my life would have been a lot easier. I would have been comforted way more than I was. All right, let's get to Ken and what is trending.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, here's that Tiger Woods update. This is from the official Twitter account of Tiger Woods, Greg, posted about 15 hours after that single car rollover crash in the L.A. suburbs, 7:18 a.m. Pacific yesterday. Tiger is recovering after lengthy surgery to repair, quote, significant orthopedic injuries to his right lower extremity. He had comminuted open fractures. Apparently, that means where the bone was broken into more than two pieces. Lower right leg, a rod placed in the tibia, screws and pins in the foot and ankle, trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg requiring surgical release of the covering to the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling.
Sounds eerily similar to the Puppygate incident.
Yes, it does.
His ankle shattered.
Yeah.
I mean, it is probably too early to say this, but how difficult is it going to be for him to ever play golf again?
Well, I think you add that with the back injuries that he was dealing with, because didn't he just have back surgery right before it? So people were led to believe, uh-oh, Tiger must be on something.
Then you add in this jinx.
Yeah, and you add in all those injuries. I think it might be difficult for him. But then again, it is golf, so.
Well, and it also is Tiger Woods. Yeah, it's a guy who won a couple tournaments on... One on a fractured leg anyway. I think that was the Masters. And
U.S. Open.
So was it the Open? I mean, if there's anybody who can come back from it, I would say he can come back from it, but devastating injuries.
Here's Deputy Carlos Gonzalez. He was first on the scene to Tiger at the crash site.
What did you do to keep him calm, Deputy?
I spoke to him. I asked him what his name was. He told me his name was Tiger, and at that moment I immediately recognized him. I asked him if he knew where he was, what time of day, just to make sure he was oriented. He seemed as though he was lucid and calm.
It's Bob Barker.
Ooh, great reference from the old show, Danielle. Great reference.
Authorities said there was no immediate evidence he was impaired after checking for odor of alcohol or other signs he was under the influence. And they're not saying how fast they think he was going in the 45-mile-per-hour zone.
Well, but they did say they thought that speed was a factor.
Yeah, speed definitely played an issue into that.
And there was, I guess he was late. He was shooting a television program or scheduled to shoot at 7:30, and it was an hour away. And he didn't leave the hotel until after 7. Mm-hmm. So, there was another show being shot at the hotel where he was staying. TMZ had this. And he almost hit the car of a director who was pulling into the hotel because he was speeding out of the place. I'm assuming that he was going fast, but who knows?
Maybe more info today. Dallas 110, Celtics 107, Luka Doncic. Mm. Two big threes, including this one with the game.
Tied at 107. No timeouts left for the Mavs. Doncic takes it.
Oh, goodness.
Second big three. He had another go-ahead three with 15 seconds left. Celtics were down big, came back to make it close in the final stretch there. But that's 7 out of 10 in the loss column.
And they are officially under 500, your Boston Celtics.
Guess who brought the ball up court at the end of the game? Luka. I think you might want to run a double at him and get the ball out of his hands.
Celtics at the Hawks tonight at 7:30. The lead's next on the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
All
that's a stumper, Ken Laird. It sounds like Joe Satriani to me.
Nope. Early 80s metal. British band.
British band, early 80s metal.
Famous mascot.
Oh, is that Iron Maiden?
Iron Maiden. The Trooper.
I was never a huge Iron Maiden fan.
This was one of their bigger U.S. hits. I don't think they got much U.S. airplay. They were a little bit too hard for radio. I don't know. Not that I was alive.
What's it called?
The Trooper.
The Trooper. All right.
That's kind of a signature. Anyway, signature riff. Signature column from the Laird Man up at WEI.com, Greg.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody's a fan of that one.
Laird colon.
Things are starting to pile up on Danny Ainge. Let me read it to you this way. These are the top five reasons Danny Ainge should be fired. I'd like to surface this. Number five, the Kemba contract. We talked a little bit yesterday about him trying to trade damaged goods. He's going to get $36 million next year and $37 million the year after that. He missed another big shot with a minute and a half to go last night. Number four, Gordon Hayward left for basically nothing. Kyrie Irving did leave for nothing, as Wiggy reminds us all the time.
Yep.
Number three, no depth. They got outscored bench scoring last night 51-19. Your offseason additions, I like Tristan Thompson, but he's been a bust, not a fit at the minimum, and Jeff Teague is not playing. Coupled with bad drafts of the last 3 years, other than Peyton Pritchard, Bubkis. Number two, Brad Stevens. There is so little life on this team. Our coach, the official coach of the Greg Hill Morning Show, Kendrick Perkins, is calling for basically, he didn't say come out and say it, but he's blaming Brad. Where's the life? Where's the energy?
I listen to Perk. Whatever Perk says, yep. I agree with. The man knows his stuff. So he's blaming Brad Stevens for everything?
We can play that cut in a bit, and I think the team is tuning him out, and there's nothing Ainge can do. And number one is obviously one title in 18 years. It's time for a new set of eyes on this team.
I think you're right. I think you're probably right. I think Danny has gotten a pass because we've talked about it a lot.
Yep.
They loved what he did.
Dirt Dog Danny when he played.
What he did here for the Celtics, pretty amazing. And pretty early on, he was able to bring a title here. And so he's gotten a pass. But Bill Belichick is not getting the same pass. And Dave Dombrowski did not get the same pass.
No point.
And others don't get that same pass. So it may be time. You might be right, Ken. All right, that column is up at WEEI.com now. Give it a read. Curtis, good morning.
So yesterday, like everybody around the country, I was glued to the TV watching the absolutely just scary photos that resulted from the Tiger Woods single car crash in Los Angeles. And it really hit me. I going back and watching the documentary like we did, and I read the book about Tiger, he was programmed to be a great golfer by his parents. Mm-hmm. Literally nothing else in his life mattered. Morals be damned, whatever, it didn't matter. He had to be a great golfer. And his girlfriend on that documentary had, I thought, the best line of the whole two-part series, which is they prepared him to be the greatest golfer of all time.
The high school girlfriend?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they did not prepare him for the fame that would come along with it.
You're right.
And I just, it's such a sad, tragic story. This is a guy 15 years ago was four majors away from being the greatest golfer of all time. And he's won one since then. And I have so many questions about this. Number one, why are you driving yourself somewhere? You're a billionaire.
He should have a driver.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't have luck when it comes to driving.
No.
And
no, I don't think I'm serious. he doesn't.
And to extrapolate the conversation that he had on Sunday with Jim Nance, where he said, I only have one back. I don't want to risk coming back too soon, to the next morning having his car fly into the brush 50 feet from somebody's home, 700 feet from the road. It is just such a tragic story. A guy, I've loved Tiger. He has been famous since 1996. That is when Tom Brady was in high school. I mean, this guy has had such an incredible run of being in the public eye. And for a guy that is so covets privacy, the amount of times his own personal demons have caused him to be seen in a negative light is really just surprising. So,
well, and I think watching the documentary, you realize again how complicated the relationship was with his father. Mm-hmm. And I think the damage that did to him mentally has been difficult to overcome.
Absolutely.
I think it's been really hard for him to overcome that. And they were, you know, they were somewhat overbearing when it came to golf. I mean, he had no choice other than to be the greatest golfer that there ever was.
Right.
And that's an awful lot of pressure on somebody from the age of five when you're on the Mike Douglas show or whatever it is.
And also, they wouldn't let him do anything else. They wouldn't allow people to be friends with him to take him away from the golf course.
Yep.
He could never participate in any other sport. And so anyway, obviously, hope he's doing okay. Hope there was no other issues. But the rush to say that there is, quote, no impairment, in my view, is something that you wouldn't know at the scene. I mean, you could know it, but you don't have to know it at the scene.
Isn't it more than, I mean, 7 a.m., he's leaving a hotel where I'm guessing that he slept for the night. I mean,
cops look for that stuff when they're, you know, he knows exactly where he is.
Curtis is saying they might not look for, are you saying they might not look for it if it's Tiger Woods?
Well, he's been arrested for driving with Ambien, under the influence. Yeah. So a guy that can't sleep well, who just had surgery, you're on pain medication. It's not something that's out of the realm of possibility. I'm glad he's okay. More importantly, I'm glad nobody else was hurt.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed yesterday to me more likely that he fell asleep than that he was impaired because of the way the car traveled across the median and basically down into a ravine. And there were no skid marks. There didn't appear to be. I mean, I'm not an accident reconstructionist or anything like that, but it just seemed that way to me. So, all right,
Curtis. Do you have a recon challenge point?
But he fell asleep behind the wheel the last time he was arrested.
He did.
But he was sauced up when you see him on that video.
Yeah, he was on the painkillers and he was on something, as my mom used to say. But and he had been in an accident that night also. Yeah. They had said. So. All right, Curtis. Thank you, Wiggy. What's your lead this morning?
All right, so it is getting hotter and hotter to watch as a Celtics fan when I see this team play, because we watch sports teams around here and we've been fans for these teams for as long as I can remember. And it's always about the light at the end of the tunnel, and that light being the postseason and the chance to make it to the postseason and win a championship. But with the Celtics team, man, it's just hard to watch. Like, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's nothing no trade's going to do to help this team out, because there are issues that this team has dealing with personality. You know, just at times it seems like they just don't care, or they don't respect their coach, or whatever it is. They're just kind of sleepwalking through the game. And, you know, we talked about Perk in there. You know, where is the energy level? Where is all that other stuff? And it just looks, watching this team, at least with the Bruins, I could say, you know what? Even if they have a little skid where they don't play well, you go, all right, I can't wait for the playoffs to see them play.
Yeah. They seem like they're having fun together.
Right.
Pasta's got the pink sunglasses on and they're playing Barbie Girl. They seem like they're having fun.
Yeah.
These guys don't seem like they like each other.
This is like an AAU team who don't like their coach.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of talent, but they just don't like their coach and they don't like the way things are going. And you're like, man, how is this team losing? They're a better team than what we see on the court.
So you agree with Ken? Solution is to get rid of Danny Ainge. Start there.
Listen, I already told Wick he should have had the ultimatum to Danny a couple days ago. Either Steven's gone at 5 o'clock or both of you are gone.
Yeah. All right. Wiggy, thank you. Danielle, what's your lead?
Well, since I flipped out about it and I wanted answers, I now have them and I must share them with you. Remember how I was curious as to how much the state spent on that COVID vaccine appointment booking website that crashed abominably the first day that a million appointments were supposed to be available?
I believe it's officially called the Dumpster Fire. is what the website is called. Yes.
You want to take a wild guess how much we paid for that? Give me a ballpark figure.
Quarter of $1 million.
$5 million.
Just under a half million.
Half a million.
The state paid $438,000 to PrepMod, the company that created and hosted the website. In August of last year, they paid $318,000 for the PrepMod Public Health Bundle, which is advertised as an end-to-end system that will automate all aspects of managing public health programming, including pandemics and other public health emergencies. Mm-hmm. In January, state was charged a little over $43,000 for a project manager and $77,000 for senior development. So all told, just over $438,000 for a website that crashed as soon as it was supposed to work.
And they did that in August?
Yes.
So they should.
So they were looking ahead for this.
They had many months to make sure that it was going to work.
Well, this is an already established product.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that,
my hair's on fire about the whole thing. I can't even begin to tell you how
you figure, like, they put
pissed off I am.
they put more money into it just to make sure there are no issues. You know, if you're going to put $2 million into commercials that play on in Huntsville, Alabama, you figure, hey, maybe we throw a little, you know, not maybe a mill into this so we don't have any issues.
Well, so the governor and Fall Guy Mary Lou Sutters are going to be testifying before the legislature about this tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe they should have. I mean, did they do any background on the company before that? I mean, is this a company that, you know, they saw the pandemic and they're like, let's get into building websites?
No.
It was a sponsored ad on Instagram.
Somebody sent him Charlie a text like, hey, my boy's got this website company.
Were they guys who were like, prior to the pandemic, they were going around resurfacing driveways or something, and then they decided we need to start a pandemic website company? Right, or, I mean,
I got a text message the other day from a friend of mine.
Who just started a website company.
Yeah. All right. Danielle, thank you.
Welcome.
Speaking of Governor Eeyore Killjoy, yesterday, the governor suggested that school children here in Massachusetts might go back to school by the 1st of April. And from the nothing could be more predictable department, immediately, the president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association, Mary Najimy, said, uh-uh, no way.
This is going to cause chaos, and we're going to have to see where this chaos leads to. The commissioner can't just wave a magic wand and make all the danger and problems go away. There are still too many schools, particularly in communities of color, where the ventilation systems cannot control infection. You simply can't follow the science of 6 feet distancing and have 100% of the people back in school.
I thought we were supposed to follow the science, Ken. I thought that social distancing and washing hands and staying away from other people was going to keep us all safe. When would this woman suggest that we might be able to take our kids who are being mentally damaged in a gigantic way from this and put them back in a classroom?
When they fix the ventilation system.
When this is over.
Where's the money coming from
to put
all these new ventilation systems into schools?
Well, that's part of the stimulus, but I'm with you, Greg. Well, they got to go back to school. I mean, forget the excuses.
Every teacher that I talk to, and my daughter happens to be one, wants to be in the classroom teaching kids.
They need it. I got kids that virtually learn, and it's not the same thing. And what was the thing that they told us at the beginning of all this, or throughout most of this pandemic?
2 weeks to slow the spread.
No, before that?
Before that. Six weeks to slow the spread.
Even before that.
6 months to slow the
they
spread.
They said, you know, the numbers that we see with the kids are not bad, but it's the kids bringing it to the old people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're vaccinating all these old people, the grandmothers and the grandfathers, we heard, well, what happens when little Bobby goes home to his grandmother that's taking care of him? Well, now his grandmother's got the vaccine. Can't we get them back to school so Bobby could, you know?
I have to believe that the parents who are listening right now are pulling their hair out, and it's probably on fire. Because they are dealing with it every day. They know how damaging it is for their kids to not be physically in school with other kids.
My hair's on fire.
They're a mess.
What's
that,
Danielle?
They're depressed. The kids, they're so, like, every friend that I has that have that, every friend that I know that has kids, they're just, I mean, these kids are slipping into these deep depressions because they can't see their friends. They can't have that normal routine interaction, change your environment, whatever. They're failing with the schoolwork.
Right.
They can't keep up with it. You know, the teachers are doing the best that they can for what their situation is. And it's a nightmare.
You know, Greg, you know what the most interesting thing that Dr. McCary said yesterday to me was? That last summer, they did an entire study on the impact of the lockdown, the impact of how they are reacting to COVID and what that's done to people in certain groups, and it hasn't seen the light of day. I assure you, in that, it says students should be together.
Right.
Students are not transmitting this to the parents. Students are in the lowest danger zone of any population group. They need to be back in school. And that's sitting there collecting dust. Because if that said the lockdowns were working without issue, it would have been on the front page of the New York Times the next day.
You talk to these, if you talk to teachers who are teaching in, it doesn't matter what district it is.
Right.
They find themselves literally going to do wellness checks on kids.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting on the Zoom.
They're not.
Never mind learning anything.
Right.
Or interacting with other kids their own age.
Right.
They're not even getting on the Zoom because their parent or their parents have to go to work.
Right.
They have to put food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nobody who's there to tell them that they have to go to school, they have to do their homework or anything. It's a disaster.
There's no adult supervision. And for me growing up, I was in that boat where my mother went to work. And so I had to kind of get up on my own and get ready to go to school because she was gone. And I know how I was at, 15, 16 mm-hmm. years old. If you're telling me remote learning from home, I'm not getting up. I'm like, mm-hmm. I had issues with Wi-Fi. And not only that, are they affecting these kids with not getting them back in school? The one thing that some of these places, some of these school districts are not doing are allowing these kids to have extracurricular activities. So I saw this thing in Northampton. They won't even let these poor kids play football for their senior year and go outside and at least, do that. Maybe you're not right. able to get back into right. school, but you're able to socially interact with whether yeah. it's teammates or whether a kid's in band. It doesn't necessarily matter after be sports, but some of these extracurricular activities after school, they don't even allow these kids to do them.
But yeah. the issue here, Greg, is that Baker screwed this up from the beginning. Every other state in the country prioritized teachers getting the vaccine. What? Give me one reason why he didn't do that. Because if the teachers were vaccinated, if they were in the first or second stage, April 1st wouldn't be a problem at all.
Curtis, you just heard her say that she wants ventilation systems in every school in Massachusetts. She doesn't want them to go back.
Okay, but that's separate from the point I just made.
No, I understand what you're saying. Yes, I certainly believe that teachers should have been ahead of the line when it comes to prisoners. They should have been in front of prisoners. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that. But are you... should we be vaccinating teachers before we're vaccinating grocery store workers who are coming into contact with people every single day?
I would say they would be the same. I mean, I don't see the difference.
There's virtually no, when it comes to children,
mm-hmm.
there is virtually zero risk to them from this virus. Zero.
Right.
And if you're a teacher who is at an advanced age, 60, 65 years old.
Right.
I'm sure that there can be some accommodation made for you
mm-hmm.
until the point that you can get yourself a vaccine. But the kids, we are not concerned. I don't understand why people in this country are less concerned about the damage that is being done to right. children mentally than the damage that is being done by the virus.
Because the death numbers are not thrown in our face like they are with the virus.
I
would say that the teachers, are more important than the grocery store workers. They should be ahead of them, right? Because the grocery store, in order to go into a grocery store, you got to mask up. Everybody's masking up. But the effect that these kids, by them not being in school, is having on them, and there's so many different family dynamics, whether it's single parents, whether it's grandparents, and these kids not having those type of yeah. connections.
Okay, so if it's safe for the grocery store workers to go to work and to mask up, isn't it safe for the teachers to go to work and mask up?
Yeah.
Can't they double mask or triple mask? This is Christine. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. How's everybody today?
Fantastic. Good. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Heading to school, actually.
Excellent.
So I agree with many of your points. I totally agree. The detriment to our children is horrifying. I'm seeing it in all grade levels. My point is, and what we were talking about as a staff yesterday when this announcement came, was if we are to definitely follow the science, so the kids can all come in, I can get 25 kids in a classroom sitting on top of each other, but yet when I leave school and run to CVS, I need to be 6 feet apart. So that's the stuff that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
We have tried every measurement possible. Initially last summer, I can't even tell you the amount of committees, the amount of studies, the amount of things that we were made to do as a staff all summer long. Those that say you have summers off are full of you know what,
mm-hmm.
because we didn't have a summer off. We tried to plan and plan and plan. So we planned at 3 feet. We planned at 4 feet. We planned at 6 feet, finally. All the other plans thrown away. Even at 3 feet capacity between the kids with masks on, you can barely get 14 in a classroom. We all know the numbers are much higher than that if we bring everybody back. And now you're telling us you want this by April 1? We had to empty classrooms. There's no bookcases. There's no toys. I'm in a kindergarten center. We have nothing for these kids. They literally sit lined up 6 feet apart with masks on, separated, and the teachers aren't even allowed to go help them do something because we're not supposed to touch them or be near them. How are we all coming together by April 1?
Christine, I hate to say it this way. You got to figure it out. The kids
are trying to figure it out.
Okay, you've had months. Guidelines. You've had months. Yeah,
they told us to do.
If there are every other business in the Commonwealth that wants to try to stay afloat, has found a way to figure it out.
Well, if everybody's masked up and the kids, they don't have to be 6 feet apart. Because when you go in the grocery stores or CVS, like she said, I'm sorry to tell you, people are not 6 feet apart. Everybody
no,
got
but it's, not, it's also not the same people close to each other
I understand that. But I think if you're all wearing the mask and everybody's washing their hands and at times, you know what, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Kids follow all of those rules.
Well, then they're not going to. I mean, there's going to be issues, right?
Right. So the teachers need to be vaccinated. You don't open the schools until the teachers are vaccinated. Greg likes to move the football around and say, oh, well, just figure it out. Well, the governor didn't. Mm-hmm. We are where we are. It is currently February 24th. So if he can vaccinate all the teachers in the next month, then they can go back to work.
I agree with
Curtis, let me ask you a question. If everybody that worked in a school had not been able to be kept whole, do you think there'd be a solution now?
Yeah, they'd go back to school.
Do you think the people that are clamoring for the teachers to return to work are now finally realizing the amount that the teacher does for them? Free babysitting all day allows them to work a different job. Teachers' value has never been higher than right now because everybody finally understands the work. The kids that they don't want to be around, that teacher's teaching those kids plus 20 other booger eaters all morning.
First of all, right now,
isn't that good for your immunity? They say that eating your own boogers is good for your immunity.
It's disgusting.
It exposes you. It's like a vaccine. Yeah. It exposes you to small doses of stuff so you can build the antibody.
Yeah. Is that why you drink your own urine?
Urotherapy is completely different.
This is Todd from Cambridge. Hey, Todd.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hold on. Let me just get the hair out of my booger here. Hold on. Okay, anyways. yummy. We got to stop giving teachers a pass on this in the sense that all my friends told me that they want the kids back in school. Don't tell me that as a parent of a young kid. You tell your union representatives who you elected. Have they heard a word from you, or do you just complain quietly among yourselves and complain quietly to us? But meanwhile, I bet the head of the teachers union hasn't heard a word from any of their teachers, and they think what they're doing is in their best interest and that they have their total support.
It's just, I don't understand where the concern is for the children, and especially from the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have amazing teachers in this country. I said it at the start of the show. My daughter, Julia Hill, is one in East Boston, where Wiggy's from. Amazing. Chose to do that job because she has a passion for helping kids. They're amazing. I'm sure that they are thinking about the children and their mental well-being first. Why isn't the teachers' union? Why isn't the teachers' union saying, okay, Governor, you're saying it's okay by April 1st. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out a way to get these elementary kids back in school by April 1st.
Right.
That's what I don't understand. But Curtis says I'm an ignoramus. All right. We are going to take a break. But we can, a bunch of you want to talk about this, so we can continue that. We will get to the dumbest of the day coming up at 7 this morning. And then at 7:20, unfortunately, some bad news for Mrs. Poindexter and her family today.
Oh, no.
Danielle?
Oh, man.
Terrible. I don't even want to know.
A grave injustice has been done to the soccer mom star of OnlyFans, which we will discuss at 7:20 on this morning's show. And then after that, Danielle will have the news for you. And there is a Florida Not Like the Rest of Us story today, which I would say there is nothing more sunshine state than what a woman used to rob a bank in Florida. So we'll get to all of that coming up on today's Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
There's still approximately 20% of districts that are still learning fully remote. This affects roughly 400,000 kids, most of whom haven't been in a classroom since last March. With COVID cases and hospitalizations continuing to decline and vaccines well underway, it's time to set our sights on eliminating remote learning by April and starting with elementary schools.
To find you with the world. Upstairs when I
Breathe, Laird. Choice, Steely Dan, and I'm never going back to my old school.
You ain't lying about that one.
That's about what is going on here in Massachusetts. I may demand a me and Julio down by the schoolyard rejoin, ooh, Ken, okay, if you can make a note of that.
Are you going to go back and finish your final semester? Is that why you're really clamoring for this?
It was one class, Curtis. Oh. It was Jim. one damn, as Wiggy would say, one damn class
come
that
on,
I failed.
Bro.
And I never graduated from the Shoba Regional High School. And where's the honorary degree?
You know, right, you honestly,
yeah, at this point.
I mean, I've been asking for that for decades.
And damn.
I don't think you're getting that after that first second. Teachers hate you.
What class was it you failed? One class you couldn't get by?
It was anatomy and physiology. Yeah, and it was the part, you know the part where you examined the mannequin of the female body?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find certain things on there.
Okay. You're not alone, bud. You are not alone. Let me tell you, you are in the majority of men, even though it's
you should have hung
right
out
there
more in school.
Sorry. I mean, it was in the air. What? It was in the area, Danielle.
Were you, or did she tell you that to make you feel better?
All right.
You were so close.
That's her elbow.
This is Jason. Hello. Hey, Jason.
Wicked high.
Hey, how you doing, Greg?
What's
love
up?
The show, man.
Thank you, Jason.
So my kids go to private school, and including my nieces, they're all back at school. If somebody gets COVID or symptoms or what have you, they go home for the 2 weeks and they Zoom. If the entire class gets it, the whole class goes home for 2 weeks, and you know, hopefully everybody's fine and they all come back.
Yeah.
I don't know why this isn't a thing in public schools. My wife and I are enjoying the life. The kids go to school and we're working and everything's flourishing and moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, my kids are older,
mm-hmm,
so I don't understand. There may be parents listening who want to call and tell me that remote learning is going fine for their kids.
Yeah, ain't no
and
way.
If that's, I mean, I listen to Wiggy. Wiggy's kids are younger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He says it's a disaster.
Yeah, and I have two in high school, and they go to a Catholic school, and they go 1 week they're on, the next week they're off. And that's still difficult to do. But they also have given these kids the leverage, or given the parents the leverage to say, well, if you, the week that you're supposed to go, you don't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And a lot of people take advantage of that.
No, we're discussing the fact that the governor, for once in the last year, said, let's get something opened up and started. And he said, let's get school back and get kids back in school. And immediately, the Massachusetts Teachers Association started to say, whoa, 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 slow down.
Gave them a lot of what for.
We gave him a lot of what for. We're not going back. This is Keith. Hello, Keith.
Hi, Greg. Hello, morning show. I'm a teacher for 25 years now. I'm in New Hampshire. The majority of teachers that I work with do not want to be home. Just like you said before, it's all based on the union. So what parents need to do, what teachers need to do, is really hammer their board of school committee members, get these unions to vote, get these unions back in school. It's just ridiculous. I'm a parent of three as well, so I see the effects on these kids.
And Keith, when you talk to your fellow teachers, what percentage would you guess want to be back in the classroom tomorrow teaching kids in person?
Oh, 99%.
99%.
Yeah.
Just, the damage that is being done to these kids is going to, like, 10 years from now,
yeah,
15 years right from now, there's an entire generation,
mm-hmm,
right,
that is going to have to deal with this mentally, what they went through.
So why hasn't the state been proactively getting the schools ready, getting the teachers vaccinated? Why?
Because they don't care. We're so ass backwards here in the country that we live in that they when this is disparity between vaccines and lower income cities, we hear it all the time. It's plastered front page news. You know, it's all over the place. We got to make sure that we heard the president saying, hey, listen, some of these people that live in lower incomes are black and brown, you know, neighbors, don't know how to get on Wi-Fi, don't know how to work a computer. Yeah. But when you're talking about kids that, and I know it affects all kids, but there are some kids that live in lower income communities that their parents are not able to stay at home and make sure they're doing, or they don't.
I know. They're being destroyed.
But this negatively impacts those students far more than it does the kid in Dover.
But they don't plaster that over the news.
And
no
that's the fact of the situation. The Wi-Fi, the computer setup, whatever it is not as good in the families of lower-income parents.
Right. Curtis, so you would prioritize teachers over those who are 65 to 75 years old when it comes to vaccines?
You can play these sort of random games. I would say teachers...
What random game am I playing with you?
I care more about a teacher.
Why are you so triggered?
You're the one who's triggered.
We don't have enough vaccines. Do you understand that?
Okay, but the teachers are essential to returning to normalcy. Teachers directly impact...
Well, they want to be essential until it's time for them to be essential, and they don't want to be essential right now.
Greg, teachers want to be essential. They would much prefer to teach in person. You try talking to a first grader via Zoom.
It's awful.
It's awful. All of that is all true. The situation sucks. The fact that Charlie Baker today or yesterday is all of a sudden saying we need to get the schools back in action after total inaction when it comes to getting them vaccinated and getting the schools prepared. That, to me, is him trying to play politics while not doing anything to back up the words.
Okay, so you're suggesting that we have enough vaccines and it's the fault of the state when it comes to not getting teachers vaccinated.
Charlie Baker prioritized the guy driving the elderly person getting a vaccine more than a teacher. Think about that.
And Greg, to answer your question, I would say, yeah, you should prioritize teachers over the elderly people. And not that you should.
And the guy that drives them there. Why do we do that?
Not that you're saying one life is more.
Is the risk worse to a 29-year-old teacher or to a 65-year-old elderly person?
Oh, a 65-year-old elderly person.
Okay, so shouldn't they be vaccinated first?
No, I should.
Isn't the 29-year-old teacher or the 44-year-old teacher who is going to work at really little risk from dying from this?
Right, and I agree with you on that, but I think you're missing the bigger picture. The risk might not be as bad for them as far as getting COVID and dying from it, but think about the risk to the mental health of the kids. You know, the kids that, and I think it was an article I saw in California that, you know, kids between the ages of like 12 and 15, you know, the suicide rates were up.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's more or less the kids by... them not being able to go to school, they're at more risk than I would think the elderly people mentally.
Okay. This is Chris from Malden. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everything? In, girl.
Hi.
How's everything? Just walking into work, and I'm listening to you guys this morning. I just wanted to see if it dawned on anybody what the previous administration was talking about when they had said, don't let the cure be worse than the virus. It's happening right now. This is exactly what they were talking about.
I agree.
And these schools, they're not going to open until November. And this is what's happening right now. We're being strung along until April, so everybody's getting their hopes up for April. And then he gets on the news in April and he says, you know what? We think it's smarter because it's so close to the summertime not to send these kids back to school for 2 months. So we're going to take the summer to put new ventilation systems, clean everything out, and we're going to open back up in September.
Right.
Then what's going to happen in September? It's a joke. It's such a shame to sit here and watch it happen and realize that there's more to it than most people are seeing. The problem is nobody stands up for themselves anymore. Everybody's so upset about it, but nobody's doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Coming together to go to Senate, to write into their Congress. And, you know, it's our country. We the people, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it. I just wanted to touch base on that. Heading into work, I appreciate you guys, everything you're doing in the morning. I've switched to you guys 100% of the time now.
Oh,
so
Chris,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And Chris,
and then he sticks the landing.
And Chris is 100% right.
What's that from?
Greg, we're gonna get to April, and then it's gonna be a little bit of a pushback, and people are gonna be like, "Well, why are we gonna send these kids back to school for 2 months? We'll just, you know, get everything going in September. By then, every teacher should be able to get vaccinated, kids, grandparents, whoever, and we'll see you in the fall."
You know who could fix this problem and get the kids back to school?
Who's that?
Ted Lasso.
Yep.
All right. And Linda.
Ted fixes everything.
Hey, can we say one thing we can agree on this, Greg? Let's vaccinate teachers before prison inmates.
Agreed.
Okay.
I said that earlier. I fully agree.
Okay. Oh, unity.
We have unity.
All right.
I agree, Curtis. Let's take a break. The dumbest of the day is coming up shortly.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.